Yes. Well, it's good to be here. Our last Sunday glow team. Oh, it's been a great time, and a huge thank you to Derek and Penny in particular for looking after us and putting up with us and organising such a fantastic program. And a special thank you to Derek and Joan, especially, who have been so good to us and having us in their home. I want to share something with you this morning. But before I do that, I want to tell you about a lady that's inspired me. And that is my gran. Thank God for grandmothers, they're great. And in 1948, my gran had a brother who owned a home in Edinburgh. And many of them were orphans, some from the war. And in that home was a little black girl. And she was taken to that home at 6 weeks of age. And my gran spoke to her brother, and she said, "I'd like to adopt a child." And when she went to the home, she couldn't resist the little black girl. And there she was, little gold shoes on, beautiful dress. I did have a picture, but I haven't got it with me. But it's a stunning picture. And my gran adopted that little girl. And that little girl, of course, was my mum. And my gran was an amazing person. She lived in a little town called Hart Hill. And if you were to speak to anyone in Hart Hill, do you know Jenny Short? They would tell you some story about my gran. My gran had such an impact on people. She was infectious and she was very good at praising the Lord and sharing her faith. And the first thing my gran taught me actually was praise the Lord. I was praising the Lord at 3 years old. It was funny. And she used to get me to do it to everyone. And she was so infectious. But that act of kindness and goodness and love, of adopting a black girl into a white community, was really quite amazing. And I could tell you so much more, but my gran is my inspiration. And in particular because she was one who really showed the love of God in her life, the person whom she trusted. And this is my verse that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's written by a man called Paul, writing to a group of Christians who were at Rome. And God had changed this man's life. We do believe that God changes lives. And he writes these wonderful words, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we want to think about this amazing God and the amazing love that he has for us. I want to think about God this morning. We hear about God in our schools, and I was hearing recently, sadly, that the head of the science organisation in the UK had to step down because he was promoting that creation should still be taught in schools. And men like Richard Dawkins and David Attenborough requested that he should be stepped down from his chair. But the God of the Bible is an amazing God, I believe. And it says in Psalm 147 verse 5, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power." And I believe this morning that the Bible is true. And it speaks about a God who is a creator God. The Bible says that we were made in God's image. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. And here is me at 5 weeks old. I've been doing a little bit of research and study recently on the developments of a child in the womb, and it's just absolutely incredible. And at 5 weeks old, almost every major organ in a baby's body is formed. And on that fifth week, the spinal column connects with the brain. And at that time, there is 1 million nerve endings in the brain, and there is 1 million nerve endings in each of the eyes. And on that fifth week, those 1 million nerve endings connect together, and of which then the baby will have eventually its sight. And then a little cutting device comes across and cuts the eyelid. It's incredible. And it reminds me of just how great and how amazing God is. He is a creator God. And we can be reminded when we look at things like this that we come from a God who has designed us in such an amazing way. But you know what? The thing I find incredible is that this amazing God, this great God, is a God that is interested in us and he loves us. You can imagine, you know, if you got a telegram from the Queen, and I know some of the people are excited about that, and had invite you to Buckingham Palace. I know I would be excited. I don't know if you would be. And then she put on the bottom, "You and I really appreciate your company because I love you so much. Please come and have tea with us and share a bit of time at Buckingham Palace." I would think, wow, that's incredible. I know my wife would be excited because she loves the Queen and the royal family. But you know, what often makes love special is the person that's doing the loving. And if the Queen said that she loved me and came to my house for tea, then I would feel quite special because of who she is. But I want to remind us this morning that the living God of heaven, the person that put all the stars in the sky one by one and knows them all by name, the one that formed us perfectly in our mother's womb, is the one that loves us. And loves us with such a great love. You know, this God is not just some distant being out in the sky. He's not so far away that we can't reach out to him, but he is a God that has come to us. And he has come to us not in the form of an angel or something abstract, but something real, tangible, living in the person of as a human being. And God has spoken to us in a language that we understand. And God has spoken to us in the language of love, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's a title that we often refer to him. And I don't know about you, I know that some of you have been doing Christianity Explored. I love Mark's Gospel that tells us about the life of Jesus. And if we read about Luke and John's Gospel too, wonderful places that we can go to read about the life of Jesus. But it's all about a person that's showing us how great God is. And that's why I love to read the Gospels and those four books that begin our New Testament. I was thinking about one of my favourite stories, all true, when I was thinking about Mother's Day today. I was thinking about a mother that had been so distressed and broken-hearted because she was a widow and she just lost her own son. And she was there at a city called Nain, distressed, and there was many of the town there with her that day. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus was there. And I think that's fantastic because God's love is a love that's shown in action. And we can see that in every incident in the life of Jesus, time and time again, when people are hurting and when people are broken and downhearted and feeling outcast and rejected, that's where Jesus is. Because he wants to show them that God's love is a love that reaches out to all kinds and all classes of people. And I love this story so much because he puts his hand on the coffin of her son that had died. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up, rise again." And he lives. This person, Jesus Christ, has power. The very power of God. And he showed his power when he was here on earth. He even had power to raise the dead. Jesus Christ is an amazing person. And he is worth trusting and worth getting to know. But you know, I have to be reminded of this constantly, that actually none of us are like Jesus, because Jesus was perfect and holy. The verse that we've looked at this morning, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whoa, that's an arrow to my heart this morning. My mum and dad never ever had to sit down and teach me how to be bad, you know. I just did it because there was that bias in me, you know, that had the tendency to do wrong and to do those things which God says in his word, the Bible, are not good and are not how he wants me to live. So when I was young, I wouldn't finish my dinner when my mum told me to. I wouldn't hoover my room when my mum asked me to. And I would get into often all sorts of trouble. In fact, we were at a friend's for tea 2 weeks ago. And we were just having very nice conversation. I hadn't met this man for over 20 years, and we used to go to his house for tea, and I'd play with his kids. He says, you were quite a boy when you were young, you know, uni. And I thought, what? I thought I was a good boy. But oh, he saw the mistakes, just like everyone else. And you know, I think perhaps if we are honest with ourselves, and more importantly, God, we do make mistakes, don't we? We do get things wrong. And the Bible says that these are the things that keep us from God, that put us at a distance from Him, and that prevent us from having this a relationship, friendship, that He longs to have with us. Sin ultimately leads to death. And sadly, we've been very much reminded of that this week, of this boy, this young man who was sadly killed near where Penny and Gordon live, and all the flowers are there, and it reminds us that death is a terrible thing. We want to point you to Jesus, a God that loves us, who had power over death, and who a person who is worth trusting. The verse says that God has shown us just how much He loves us. This morning, that God's love is a love of action, and we've seen that in the person and life of Jesus Christ, that it doesn't just say in the Bible that God loves us, but He has shown us that He loves us. And it's an amazing kind of love. It's a love that tells us that Jesus Christ has come that He might lay down His life for us. He gave His life for us that we ourselves might have a right relationship and friendship with God that the sin in our lives has broken. I was really touched by a story from a newspaper recently that illustrates this. In China, on the 5th of September 2011, a whole team worked together and carefully removed the piles of ruined objects around a woman who had died. But the team discovered a three-month-old little baby wrapped in a flowery blanket under its mother's body, and obviously the woman had made an ultimate sacrifice for saving her son. And when her house was falling, she used her body to make a cover to protect her son. The little boy was still sleeping peacefully, and when the team leader picked him up, he then began to cry. The medical doctor came quickly to examine the little boy, and after he opened the blanket, he saw a cell phone inside the blanket. You'll hardly believe this, and there was a text message on the screen from the mum, and it said, "If you can survive, you must remember that I love you." The cell phone was passed around from one hand to the other of the team, and everyone that read the message wept. "If you can survive, you must remember that I love you." Such is the mother's love for her child. I take you this morning to a cross. I take you 2,000 years back in time. I take you to a man who died and suffered such a horrible death. And yet this morning, God is saying to us in a powerful way, "Remember that I love you." Because this is the ultimate sacrifice. This is the way that God has shown us how much He loves us, by giving His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. God's love is a giving love. It is a love of sacrifice and a love that is willing to give at all costs. And this morning, Jesus died for our sins. You see today that our sins that keep us out of heaven actually need to be paid for. And you know, in our society, when a person commits a terrible offence or some sort of crime, then they have to face the punishment. And if you're like, you know, myself and other people that live in my town, you have a speeding fine, you have to pick up the penalty. And if to the other extent, if somebody is murdered or somebody commits a great crime of robbery, then they have to serve their sentence in jail. But you know, God is not only a holy, loving God, but He's a God that is holy and just. And the sins that we commit have to be paid for. But I want to say this morning that the Bible says that Jesus served the sentence on the cross. I know that He served my sentence for my sins. He paid it there for me in full. And by believing on Jesus Christ, I have a place in heaven and I'm connected to God and have this incredible relationship that He so wants to have with us. Here's a favourite Bible verse of mine. It says, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." When I became a Christian, I put my name in that verse. And when I put my name in that verse, it made so much sense, because I realised that this God in heaven, this loving God, loved me as an individual. And it said, God loved me so much that He gave His one and only Son for me, that if I believed in Him, I should not perish, but have eternal life. That word perish is to be separated from God forever, without no hope of ever being recovered. But you know, today we can have hope in Jesus Christ, because He not only died on the cross, but He rose again on the third day. And from a boy of 3, I'm still saying praise God and hallelujah to that, because Jesus is alive. He is living. He is a real person with whom we can have a relationship with. But you know, God wants us to respond in faith. He wants us to trust Him this morning. You know, we live in a society where we actually find it difficult to trust people. And, you know, I'm constantly saying to the kids at school, trust me, kids, you know, this is the right equation. And they sometimes tell me, I'm a maths teacher, by the way, are you sure it's right? I say, yeah, just copy it down. Sometimes you'll make the odd mistake on the board and they'll lose your trust in you completely. But if there's one person we can trust today, that's God. Because He doesn't change. He is unfailing. He is the living God. And we can trust in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the Son of God. He is alive today. What is faith all about? Well, for my 40th birthday, whether you think I look 40 or not, we'll talk about that later. I had very kind friends that bought me a plane flight lesson. Great. Highly recommend it. And then I was sitting in this little plane. It was smaller than a mini, crunched up beside this pilot, you know, and I was looking at him, and he said, "It's okay, I've got a certificate." "Oh, that's good." He said, "I've flown in the war." "Oh, that's okay." "And I've flown with British Airways." "Well, you couldn't get better than that." If he had said EasyJet, I began to get a little bit worried, or even Ryanair. But he had all the qualifications, you see, and I could trust him. And up we went, and round about, and we were doing all sorts of things. And he says, "Do you want to land it?" I says, "You're joking." He says, "No." And I landed the plane because I had confidence in His instructions. But God is saying today, if you want a place in heaven, if you want to know this wonderful friendship and relationship that you can have with me today, then I want you to trust me. That is, I want you to commit your life to me. Just like I committed my life into the hands of that pilot and trusted him with all his qualifications and ability. You can trust Jesus today. And you can ask Him to take away all your sins. You can ask Him for forgiveness. And you can admit to Him that you do have faults and mistakes in your life that need to be put right. And you can believe that when Jesus died on the cross, in great love, He died for you personally. And having faith in Him, by committing your life to Him, putting all your eggs into one basket, then you can know this wonderful gift that it speaks of here, of eternal life or everlasting life. That's great. I became a Christian when I was 9. and I'm still enjoying this life now. It's not a life like we can see in the world today. It's not a continuation of your old life, but it is a brand new life. A life that comes from the God of heaven. A life that comes through Jesus and that was seen in Jesus. A life that is so much better in quality. A life that connects us to God. A life that is meaningful. It's a life that means that when you pick up your Bible, you begin to understand it. It has a life that when you look at the Bible, God speaks to you and it has relevance and it has meaning. And it means that when you go through life, you have this assurance that Jesus Christ is with you every step of the way and that you face life together with Him. God really is incredible. And Johanna was talking about asking God for wisdom and He gives you the trials. And you ask Him for help and patience and He gives you the dangers. My mum was my best friend. Apart from my wife, of course. But me and my mum were close. Since the age of 18, my mum had a mental illness. And as a boy of 2 years old, I remember my mum going to hospital for quite some time and I was looked after by my grandparents. And life in the home was difficult at times and stressful. But even as a boy of 9, 10, 11, I knew that I had God on my side. And that's a great thing to have. For He's the one that takes you through the trials and the difficulties. We came back to Scotland. My mum took cancer. And that was a difficult time. And there's so many other things that I could share. But I want to just share this. That in life, this everlasting life that God has given me, connecting you with God, it means that God is your rock through thick and thin. It means that Jesus takes your hand every step of the way. And for me, it meant on the cancer ward that He was with me every step of the way. And I knew that as I was sitting down and my mum was going in to get her scan, I had this assurance that He was there. And I could rest in His love. And as difficult as it was for me to speak at my mum's funeral, I knew that I had confidence because God was with me. This everlasting life is real. And it's something that I'm sure you can see in the lives of the Christians that meet here in this church. God is a wonderful God. He has made the ultimate sacrifice of love for you. And my prayer is today that you might respond, that you might trust Him and commit your life to Him. Thank you so much for listening. We'll just pray. Father, we thank You for Your great love. We thank You that You are a Father God. You are a God that loves unconditionally, and You are a God that loves continually. We thank You for the people here whose lives You have touched and brought to Yourself. And we pray that there might be many more that might come to know Your love in a personal and real way. That might be, they might be connected with You and come into a true relationship with You that's living and real. And that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal friend and Saviour and Lord. Father, bless Your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.